Come on, everybody. They'll be here in 15 minutes, or maybe even earlier, knowing them. Please, will you set the table? You know what needs to go on it. And have you tidied away that bunch of papers lying in the sitting room? And for the umpteenth time, will you not leave your stuff lying where I'm trying to work? I need everybody helping here. I just can't do it on my own. Why is it that it's all the ladies who are smiling? Hospitality can be so stressful. We worry about whether the food will be cooked, if we can serve it at the right time, whether the children will behave, whether the conversation might run dry. We want everything to go just so. We may find it a struggle to do it on our own, so we grab all the help we can, and maybe in the process, we leave our guests on their own with no one to talk to. It's reassuring to know that we're not on our own with such feelings, or even that they're not new. In this familiar story of Mary and Martha, I imagine most of us find it easier to identify with Martha than with Mary. Being busy has become a status symbol. The busier we are, the more important we must be. And here, Jesus points Martha and us to a better way. Not a way that does as little as possible, but a way that gets priorities right. Martha's problem was not that she had too much to do. As far as we can tell, she simply wanted to provide something good for Jesus and the disciples, a good ambition. And we mustn't fall into the trap of seeing activity as wrong, whether service in the church or at work or in our family lives. This passage isn't telling us that activity is wrong, nor is it giving us reason to justify laziness. And by the way, while it headlines the different approach of the two women, this isn't just a woman's topic. I imagine that those that belong to the PW or any other women's organization have all heard talks entitled something like, "Are you a Martha or a Mary?" But there are principles that apply to us all. Just as women will learn from when the spotlight might be on a man in the Bible, so men can learn when the focus is on women. Back to Martha. The text tells us that her problem was that her legitimate busyness distracted her from Jesus himself. It also made her worried and upset. In other words, the task became more important than the person. And I suspect if I asked you, has that ever happened to you? Quite a few hands might go up. People become so focused on their own task that they lose sight of those who are working with them or for them. And isn't that one of the problems with a culture of targets? You become so focused on making your targets that people may just get in the way of what I'm doing. And that's especially true if penalties are imposed if your team doesn't reach the target. Martha had a problem. She was distracted. She was getting herself wound up by the pressure of so much preparation. And she'd lost sight of the one she was working for. She was upset and annoyed that her probably younger sister, Mary, wasn't there helping. But there was a deeper problem than Martha's workload. And it wasn't, as some might have suggested, that both the sisters were romantically attracted to Jesus and Martha was jealous of Mary's giving him her full attention. By the way, Luke neither says nor even hints at any such feeling. So you need to beware of reading into Scripture things you think might be there or you'd like to be there. No, the real problem was where Mary was. In that culture, as in many parts of the world still today, houses were divided into the male space and the female space. And the male and female roles were strictly demarcated as well. When I was at university in England some years ago, my friend Mansour, a Muslim, told me that if I were to visit his house, I could only meet his parents and brother, not his sisters. Maybe our modern selves may not like that, but that's the way it was and is. So the public room was where men would meet. The kitchen and other quarters unseen by outsiders belonged to the woman. Only outside, where little children would play, and in the married bedroom, would male and female mix. And Mary had crossed the invisible but important boundary within the house. For a woman to settle down among the men was almost scandalous. Who did she think she was? Only a shameless woman would behave in such a way. She should be back in the woman's quarters where she belonged. It wasn't about superiority and inferiority. It might be perceived like that, but that wasn't it. Rather, it was what was thought of as the appropriate division between male and female. In the same way, to sit at the feet of a teacher was a decidedly male role. And by the way, sitting at someone's feet doesn't mean a devoted, dog-like, adoring posture, as though the teacher were a rock star or a sports idol. To sit at someone's feet meant simply to be their student, to want to emulate them. So, for example, you read in Acts of how Saul of Tarsus sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That's in Acts 22. Saul wanted to learn from Gamaliel and to be like him. So that's what Mary has done, quietly taking a place as a student in the kingdom of God. And Jesus affirms her right so to do. His valuation of Mary and all the other women he encountered is not based on any abstract egalitarianism, which seems to be the basis of many of the women's movements in our contemporary Western world. Rather, Jesus started from the biblical basis that both men and women are made in the image of God, made equal and complementary. And while that image of God in all of us is fallen, he brings the overflowing love of God. And like a river overflowing its banks into a parched countryside, it irrigates those parts of human society which until Jesus came were barren and unfruitful. And Mary stands for all those women who, when they hear Jesus speak of the kingdom, know that God is saying, "Listen carefully, so that you can speak of it as well." So what should we take away from this? How might we apply it? What might we talk about over dinner today or with those with whom we're walking the journey? Firstly, recognize that Jesus breaks barriers. Barriers often imposed by society. If you have your Bible, we're in Luke chapter 10, this short story. Look and see what comes immediately before it. It's verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37 is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is speaking of those who we should help. And that's all about turning upside down expectations. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. And in towns and villages and homes and in individuals, he's turning upside down expectations, leaving a new vision of the kingdom, people for whom life will never be the same again. So the question is, where is Jesus breaking down barriers here in the Triangle area in Northern Ireland, between the sexes, between communities, between different peoples and races? If our model for mission is found, for example, in Acts 1 and verse 8, you know the model? You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If that's us, and I hope it is, then we will rejoice that the Lord is bringing people of different cultures and languages to our own doorstep. And so we're glad to facilitate English classes here a couple of days a week. We're glad that we can help with a wellness hub. For that gives an opportunity for barriers to be broken down, for Jesus' love to be shown. And that's only one example of being salt and light in our community. Jesus breaking down barriers. So the question is, where is that happening? Where is God at work by His Spirit? Second thing to say, from this passage, receiving from Jesus comes first. What was it Jesus said of Mary? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Or in another translation, she has chosen the better option. And that better option was the place of receiving from Jesus. Martha's first concern was what she could give to Jesus. And yes, we need to be able to give and to serve. But the heart of the good news of the gospel is that we can give nothing of ourselves. We simply, with open hands, receive what God offers us in Jesus. Salvation in all its facets, forgiveness of our sins, grace for every situation. That's hard for us to accept in a society where what we do seems to define who we are. But receiving from Jesus needs to come first, not only in our first steps in following Him, but for the full length of the journey. Yes, we give away, we work hard, we serve willingly, but we do all those things out of what we have received as learners at the feet of Jesus. How important is it to you to receive from Jesus? So what should we do? Thirdly, sit at Jesus' feet. Take the place of discipleship. Learn to listen. And you might ask, how does Jesus speak? The Bible is central to this reading, preaching, teaching, studying and reflecting on it with others in worship and in times of prayer. There are lots of opportunities here in Ballywillan. Let's not miss them. Let's not think that's for others. Listening for them. But look at it another way. What stops us listening? Is it really just lack of time? There is time for everything under heaven, says Ecclesiastes. Time for the important things. Listening to God must be up there with that. So how to hear? We need to set time aside. We need to expect God to speak through His Word. We need to recognize that God is prompting. And sometimes it's reading and praying with others. We need to listen that we might emulate. We need to take what God says into every aspect of our lives, Monday through Saturday. Support and help each other as we live for Jesus, as we serve and bear witness by our everyday lives. So there's a big question here at this time as we're looking to move forward into a new chapter of our journey as a congregation. What is God saying to this congregation? Are we listening? Do you think it's a coincidence that last week David Clark spoke about the duty of hearing? And I had planned to speak on this even before I knew what he was speaking about. I think God is knocking and saying, listening is really important. We need to sit at Jesus' feet. We need to take the place of discipleship. Our hearts need to be good soil and to bring forth a harvest. That's what Jesus wants of us. We need to use our time well for the glory of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious and loving God, thank you that you're not far away from us, that you have given us your word, that you've given us your spirit to speak through your written word of your living word, Jesus our Savior. Give us open ears. Give us open hearts that we might listen well for our good and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.